not everyone feels like preparing or even eating a huge Christmas meal. And if you do turkey, nibbles are often all that can be managed for quite a while after, or perhaps to take the edge off the hunger before. A good platter can bring plenty of cheer and tide everyone over, especially when unexpected guests arrive or you have tempting morsels of delicious deli cuts or leftovers in the fridge. Our guest is Wānaka's Platter Queen. Rochelle May runs the catering outfit, the Platter Share, and has been advising on Christmas platter styling quite a bit these past few weeks. Kia ora, Rochelle.
Hello.
The platter, there's some nuts, there's some of those little ginger lollies on it, maybe a few raisins or sultanas, bit of cheese.
I wouldn't put ginger lollies on a platter. I don't know about that.
Oh, back in my day, have things moved on?
Do you know what? One of the great things to put on a platter is actually a gingerbread loaf. That's one of my favourite things to do at Christmas. A dense gingerbread syrupy loaf with blue cheese is a really sexy addition to a Christmas platter.
You see, what is a platter? Is it a few nuts and a few nibbles to try and deal with whatever else might be being imbibed alongside it and to try and keep people's blood sugar under control while they wait for a 3 p.m. lunch? What is the purpose of it on a Christmas day?
Well, I mean, a platter in general can be as simple or as complex as you like. I mean, we can do platter grazing tables for up to, 200 people, and they have so many different components. Or sometimes I'll just pop one together with, whatever I've got in the fridge left over. But a platter, basically, usually it's going to comprise of like meats, breads, dips and spreads, and then fruits and sweet bits and pieces.
Wonderful. All right. How do you do this? Well, for a start, we've got to get a practical and usable series of platters or serving bases. What suffices?
Yeah, so you can get your first thing before you build a platter is to get all your styling gear or like your tablescaping props. So things like slate, wooden blocks, pedestal platters, dishes, containers, terracotta. Anything that you've kind of got around your house, anything that you're happy for food to go on, you get all those sorts of bits and pieces together. Nothing too matchy-matchy. I'm not a matchy-matchy girl. So I like to, bring like cut crystal together with wood and slate and even like going to the thrift store and buying an old mirror and you can set your platter up on that can look really, really cool. And it can make a really good gift because you can, actually give it away to somebody and then they could potentially use it later on for something else as well. You start with all of your tablescaping bits and pieces, and then things like non-edibles, like your floral, little pine cones, especially at this time of year, like holly, dried leaves, candles, olive branches, just bits and pieces which kind of pack out your platter and make
especially
it look a little
the olive
bit more
branches
visual.
They may be needed later in the day, the olive branches.
Yeah, olive branches, bay leaf. Maybe try to make it so that then if someone does pop it in their mouth, it's edible, like bay leaf or olive branch. But, people will tend to hopefully have a bit of sense and realise what's edible and what's not on the plate.
All right. Now, when it comes to what goes with what on your platter, are you deciding its purpose first? As you said, if you want it to be a graze, the whole thing might be a platter graze. What would you put on? Or alternatively, if it's just a few opening salvo before a big meal, what goes together, what doesn't?
It depends if you want to make a platter to feed or a platter to nibble. So there's lots of bits and pieces, especially at this time of year, which are kind of accidentally Christmassy, like red, white and green things like tomatoes, feta, pomegranate, strawberries, raspberries. There's lots of like fresh herbs abundant, which are all green. And you can take something like pomegranate and put that on top of brie or on top of feta and then garnish it with mint. And that's a really beautiful, red, white and green, and it goes really well together. I love honey and cheese, big fan of sweet and cheese. So we do a lot of putting honeycomb on top of brie or honeycomb with goat's cheese. Or candying walnuts and bits and pieces like that too. So, the things that don't necessarily go together too well, there's one thing that I always say is just to be careful not to make your platter look, for lack of better words, tacky. So things like chips, big cut carrots and celery, or serving.
No, no, hang on.
Store-bought dips. Yeah.
I've got one. Pineapple stuck on a toothpick, stuck into half an orange.
That would probably fall into the techie category. That would go in the techie category. But yes, and a big no-no, my biggest no-no is your store-bought dips in their plastic containers. If you are not going to make your own dips and you're going to buy a Lisa's Hummus, please take it out of the plastic container and put it in anything that's not the plastic container. Little ceramic dishes, because that's the first thing that's going to kind of tacky up your platter. And then, of course, at this time of year, we've got lots of beautiful tri-coloured baby carrots. So you just clean them up and serve them whole, and they look beautiful on a platter. But do not cut your carrots or celery on a platter that's or serve dips in their plastic containers. Those are the three big no-nos for making your platter look a lot less visually appealing, especially if you want to put it on Instagram, which we all do.
If you're price conscious, the cheese can be expensive, especially at the moment. It is extremely expensive. So the old, you know,
yes,
the old
idea
of, yeah, having lots and lots of cheese. What are some of the sort of alternatives that might be a bit more cost effective?
Yeah, so one of the things that you can do is go and buy like the 250-gram like mainland blocks, and they're about, you know, $6 to $8, depending where you buy them from. And rather than serving it as, you know, on the whole rectangle, you can kind of cut it into wedges and stack them on top of each other. And so then you've got, you know, 250 grams of, but you know, I love the mainland smoked cheddar. I think it's beautiful and it's quite cost effective as well. And then you know, you just kind of stack them, and then you can put like almonds and dried fruits around the stacked wedges, and it can look really cool rather than just serving it in a whole, you know, the rectangle that comes in straight out of the packet.
Yeah, the nuts are good too. They fill people up, don't they? The almond nuts.
They fill people up. They're expensive though. So, I mean, look, putting together a platter is, you know, it's depending on what you put on it, it is a more expensive thing to do, and it can be quite time consuming. We love to make absolutely everything that goes onto our platter. So, but not everybody is going to have that time, especially if you're just, you know, Christmas morning, you've got a lot else going on. So if you do have to buy your bits and pieces in the supermarket, just take them out of the packet, serve them in something else and cut them really, you know, think about the way that you're cutting things to put them onto whatever you're serving them on.
How do you cut the strawberries?
Honestly, I've faffed around with strawberries and done so many different things, but my favourite way to serve strawberries is to leave the tops on them if they've got a nice leafy top, and just cut them in half and just serve them, like lean them up against something. So you might have your brie and you would just, you know, cut them in half and, you know, serve one. Oh, how do I explain this? This is difficult to explain. I'm here to explain this. So you would put like what, you just serve the two halves together and stand them up against the brie, or like stand them up against something. And also if you get the wee tiny baby strawberries, you don't need to do anything with them. Just dot them about. They look really beautiful, the little wee baby ones.
The goat's cheese log I'm fascinated by. Is that taking some goat's cheese and doing something flash with it?
Yeah, so you could take a goat's cheese log, and one of my favourite things to do with goat's cheese log is to take dried figs, so you can get them in the bulk bins, and you just boil them down with sugar and water, and then and blend it up if you've got a blender or a stick or a food processor, and it basically makes a figgy jam. It's very, very simple, and then you pour that figgy jam over top of the goat's cheese, and again, that's the cheese. The, you know, the tartness of your goat's cheese and the sweetness of the figs, the same way as brie and honey. Like, I love bringing in sweetness to cheese, but I have a huge sweet tooth, so I do love that. And also, or you could just sprinkle, if you don't want to get that fancy, pomegranate. Just sprinkle pomegranate over top of goat's cheese, and it's beautiful.
It's lovely stuff. Do you have to wear an appalling Christmas antler-themed jersey a la Mark Darcy when you're delivering
the
platters?
Yes, you do. Platters. Absolutely. You do. That's 100% part of it. Yeah. Yes, you do. And I actually do. I have quite a lot of those from my time in Canada. And I would have to say the only plus to the weather being super cold and shitty here in Wanaka at the moment is that I can wear those Christmas jumpers and not be too hot.
Tell me about your business background. You worked as a chef in Canada and in British Columbia for quite a long time. What's the journey been?
I actually have I'm actually not a formally trained chef at all. I have worked and I've cooked and done, worked with food my entire life. But pretty much everything that I have done has been self-taught right from a really early age, from my mother, who was an amazing cook, right through to just people that I've learned off along the way. And when I came home back to Wanaka, I wanted to be in hospitality, but I didn't want to work for someone else in hospitality. And I was pregnant with my first child, so I decided that that would be a really good time to start a business. So I did. I started the platter share when I was on maternity leave, and we just started small. We just did grazing boxes and grazing tables, and it grew really quickly. And we do full catering now, so we'll, weddings and events and, entree, main, dessert, the whole kit and caboodle. But we always have the one style way of serving food, and it's shared. So we don't do plated weddings. We bring all the food down the middle, kind of like a great big Christmas lunch. Everybody sits around the food, pasta potato style, sharing plates of food. So we sort of develop from platters, grazing boxes and platter boards, and to, feeding people in the same way. So that was about 4 years ago now, which
How are you
feels, I can't believe
navigating?
that.
It's a double whammy, of course, because there's so many tourists. I don't know how much of your business is locals and how much is tourists, but there's a massive hole in Central with the tourism at the moment. And, of course, staffing is an endless problem in any kind of hospo or food industry at the moment. How are you managing these troubled times?
It's really, really difficult, actually. It's been a really difficult month, and we did lose our chef to vaccine hesitancy. I'm actually pregnant again, and he was going to be taking over while we went on maternity leave, but unfortunately we've now lost him. It's been a really, really difficult time. I wouldn't have a clue how to replace him. If you're out there and you're a chef, get in touch with me. I would love to hear from you. We even just event staff, but we also had another one of my key event staff was vaccine hesitant, which means we cannot take them to events. And then obviously losing a lot of bookings from a lot of the local bookings that, let's say, we did have and they were secured. Maybe the bride is not vaccinated, in which case we can't cater, or their guests are not. So we're seeing that being a next great hurdle in events at the moment. People might be here, but we can't do it if, obviously all of those criteria are not met.
And you can't work around it, no, because you need to go and set up. I was just thinking about a lot of businesses have pivoted, to doing the takeaway style stuff or click and collect type
We
stuff.
do that. Absolutely. And we do a lot of, grazing box drops, grazing tables. So we can go into a property, set up a grazing table and leave. They can have whoever they want, at their private event. We come back later and pack it down. That's totally fine. But for catered events where we actually take out our mobile kitchen and, serve 100 people at a wedding, like this past weekend, we just did 50 something people. And, I was there with my team, and it was an absolute requirement that everybody there was vaccinated. And so we are seeing that as being a really big challenge this summer, and I would actually say we probably lost more events this summer than last summer. This is actually proving to be a more challenging time.
Look, this damn thing will end, but I know that's really easy to say when, it's your business that's with all the responsibilities that are with it that you're having
Yeah,
to
and
deal with.
you want to be doing the right thing. You want to do
Sure.
the right thing, but you also want to work.
Yeah.
And it's a really, it's really, really, really difficult. And it's just a lot of the time. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't know what I was doing half the time. Like, I think, okay, I really hope that we've, done all the right things to be complying with the new rules. But sometimes it's a lot of common sense too. Like, just really hope that you are doing the right thing. It's difficult.
I can hear all the commitment. I'm excited for you on the personal front as well. And one day you'll look back at it and go, "Thank God that's over." And And the sooner that comes,
I still don't
the better.
Know what else I do. I still don't know what else I do if I go to a hospital. I still love food. Like, it hasn't killed our love. And do you know what I actually did do? I did a Christmas talk. You sort of mentioned at the beginning that I did a Christmas talk a few weeks ago, and I put together this huge brochure on how to build a visually beautiful and well-paired platter. And I've just uploaded that actually on a blog to my website. If people want to go and open that up, they could pretty much start my business off if all the information I've put in there. So, yeah, they can go and have a little look and bring up that. And so there's heaps and heaps of tips and tricks in there.
So we can get a chef on the way to Wanaka for you as well, eh? Thanks, Rochelle.
Yeah, a chef on the way to Wanaka.
Yeah, we'll see if we can make that happen. Hey, season's greetings. I'm not being flippant. I would love it if it can happen. Sometimes it does. Season's greetings and all the best for 2022. You've got a heck of a lot going on. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Rochelle May. And the business is, let me just find it for you, The Platter Share, based in Wanaka.